Excellent. So the first encounter with Ecclesiastes, you're probably all thinking, I should have gone on that other youth weekend. But bear with me, because Ecclesiastes is, well, it's worth just that little bit of effort. So we know where it is. What about who wrote it? Anybody got any suggestions? I know you haven't thought about the book much, but anybody from reading and listening to some of those words being mentioned there, wisdom, anybody think of who might have wrote in Ecclesiastes? Yes.
Solomon.
Excellent choice. Any others? Anybody else? Okay. Well, Solomon is an excellent choice, but the truth is, we don't know. If any of you speak to Uncle Roger Eglin, he'll tell you that Solomon didn't write Ecclesiastes, which is one of the reasons I'm very glad that Uncle Roger Eglin isn't here this morning. But we can't be certain who wrote it. What we do know, well, the only thing we can be certain of is that the person who wrote it had a pen name. He used a pseudonym. Anybody see what that pseudonym is in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes? He calls himself something. He doesn't say, call me Bill. He says, can anybody see? Yeah.
The preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem.
Yeah, he calls himself the preacher. Cool, eh? Very cool. The preacher. What does it mean? Anybody got any other versions? NIV? Anybody using the New International Version? No? Okay. Well, this is the name, Koheleth. I should say, as we go through, when you see a box with STH, all that means is it's Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew version, and here's the number. But this pen name he uses, well, the AV says preacher, as we said. There's all sorts of other suggestions, because it's one of them words that we don't know what it might mean. Teacher, speaker, professor, assembler, gatherer of men, gatherer of ideas. And he's pretty fond of this name, because he uses it 7 times. 3 in the first chapter that we just read with Oliver, chapter 7, and then chapter 12 again. Of course, just because he doesn't tell us who he is, or she is, doesn't mean that we can't have a guess. And basically, there are 2 camps of thought. There's the Uncle Tim camp of thought, which is Solomon, and there's the Uncle Roger camp of thought, which is not Solomon. Now, it would be unfair of me just to go and say, this is Solomon. Uncle Roger doesn't know what he's talking about, because Uncle Roger definitely does know what he's talking about. You see, you can prove it either way. Let me show you. Let's have a look, first of all, at the case for Solomon. Well, what does he say in verse 1? The words of the preacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Who was David's son? Solomon. Where was Solomon king? Pretty strong start. Okay, something else from verse 1. All people gathered to hear the wisdom of Solomon. That's what we read in 1 Kings 4. What did preacher mean? What was that pen name? Remember, gatherer, assembler of men and ideas. So his name means gatherer. We know that he gathered all people and all wisdom to himself from 1 Kings 4. Let's have a look in 1 Kings. There's some other things about Solomon as well, which seem to fit very nicely. Have a look at 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 11. God said to Solomon, because you have asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Remember, Solomon had a dream. God said, what do you want, Solomon? Solomon said, I want wisdom. Verse 12, behold, God says to him, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. So we know from 1 Kings, Solomon was a wise man. We also know from Ecclesiastes that the writer was a wise man as well. I have gotten more wisdom than all they that were before me, the writer told us in verse 16. And there's something else as well. It wasn't just wisdom. Have a look at verse 13. God continues, he says to Solomon, "And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, riches and honour, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." In Ecclesiastes 2 verse 9, white box, the writer says, "So I was great, I increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem." Okay, well, looks pretty solid, doesn't it? One more thing, 1 Kings 4 verse 32. 1 Kings 4 verse 32, this is a commentary on Solomon. "And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Can we find anything in Ecclesiastes? Absolutely. The preacher sought out and set in order many proverbs. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 9. So on the face of it then, you can see why we would be right to guess Solomon. Son of David, king in Jerusalem, wisdom, riches, songwriter, speaker of proverbs. All of them tie between 1 Kings and Ecclesiastes. So you may be coming towards the Morgan camp and away from the Eglin camp. Maybe. Right, what would Uncle Roger say about this? Come with me to 1 Kings 11. And let's have a look at equally valid points. See, there was a problem with Solomon. He was a man of incredible wisdom, honour and riches, but he lost his way. 1 Kings 11 verse 1, "But King Solomon loved many strange women." Now, I'm not going to be tempted to talk to you about strange women. The verse actually tells us what it means about strange women. "King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites." What strange women means is that King Solomon loved women from all nations. It's said that it's unlikely Solomon knew how many wives he had. Interesting. I guess he was a fairly busy man. What was the problem with having thousands of wives? Well, verse 4 tells us, "It came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." So all these women distracted Solomon, and they pulled him from his first love, the God of Israel. Verse 6, "And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father." Verse 9, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice." So Solomon lost his way. And the problem is this: it doesn't tell us anywhere that he was sorry, that he repented. In fact, all it tells us is right at the end of that chapter. 1 Kings 11 is where Solomon exits, stage left. Verse 41, "Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? The time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years, and Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David." And there is a large number of people who say, if that's the case, then Solomon was not qualified, was not worthy to write a book that ended up in God's Bible. Because he was a man who he dropped a coddy. He made a mistake. He ended up in ruins. Why would God ask such a man to write his word for him or with him? Of course, it's an awkward one, that. Because none of us are qualified to judge whether God should or should not ask somebody to work with him. So, although it's true that nowhere does it tell us that Solomon was sorry for what happened, I think it's a bit dangerous to say Solomon wasn't worthy. But that is one part against it. Another one. Have a look back, if you've got your bookmark in Ecclesiastes, go back to it and just have a look at Song of Solomon that comes after it. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1. Are we there? Notice, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Ah. Okay, so there's a book that Solomon definitely wrote and claimed to write. If you're in Bible flicking mode, have a look at Proverbs 1, verse 1. We know Solomon wrote Proverbs, and we know that for a very good reason, because he tells us, Proverbs 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And so many people point out that, well, hang on a minute, we're dealing with a man here who claimed work. He was proud of his work. He tells us he wrote Song of Solomon. He tells us he wrote the Proverbs. He tells us that he wrote some of the Psalms, Psalm 72, as a title, Psalm of Solomon. The writer of Ecclesiastes does not tell us who he is. Well, that's pretty valid. It does break the pattern. Ecclesiastes, well, Solomon didn't claim it. So was it really his? There are other reasons as well. If you're back in Ecclesiastes, use the old bookmark. Have a look at chapter 1 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 12, I the preacher was king over Israel in Jerusalem. What's the problem with that? Why would that be a problem? Why would that verse suggest Solomon didn't write it? Any suggestions? Absolutely. So, if that's the case, how can Solomon write, well, I was king over Israel in Jerusalem? Good point. Last one, verse 16. I communed with mine heart, this is chapter 1, saying, lo, I am come to great estate and have forgotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. All they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Who'd been king before Solomon in Jerusalem? Anybody remember? Yes, absolutely. Pretty limited choice there, because it was only David. And it suggested then that Ecclesiastes can't be written by Solomon, because why would he say, all of they who have been in Jerusalem before me, when it was only his dad who had been king? But there is one more, which we'll come back to right at the end, the Hebrew text, but it's a bit early to be dealing with Hebrew text. So you can see, perhaps, the quandary that we find ourselves in. There's a good case for him. There's an equally good case, in many respects, against Solomon. He doesn't claim it, and he did claim everything else. He did end his life in trouble. So why at the end of his life would he think about writing something like this? Why would God inspire him? He says, I was king, not I am king. And he talks of loads of people who had been in Jerusalem before him. Now, I mentioned that my vote does go for the Solomon camp, and let me just tell you why. You see, to my mind, we can overcome this second slide, the difficulties. And this is how you do it. You judge for yourselves. Don't you take my word that Solomon wrote this. This is you've got a lifetime's decision to make here. Great opportunity. Uncle Roger and Uncle Tim have made their decisions. You haven't yet. You just weigh up the evidence. This is how I explain to myself why Solomon still could have written it against this evidence. You see, Solomon was special. Solomon had another name. There's a test for your Sunday school lessons. Anybody know what Solomon's other name was? And I think maybe I should direct this to the back row on the left. Andrew's thinking, shouldn't have asked him. Began with a J. Jedediah, beloved of the Lord, is what God said his name would be. That's his real pen name, if you like. And God viewed Solomon as a very special man. This is what God told David about Solomon in 2 Samuel. My mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul. Whatever Solomon did in his whole life, God promised that he would stay with him. Okay, so even if Solomon did make a mess, God said he would stay with this man. What about this claiming of the books? Well, we have to remember something. See, Solomon didn't only end his life as a bit of a problem child, if you like. He ended his life as a most unpopular man. See, he did a lot in his life, our Solomon, but he taxed a lot as well. He taxed If it moved, Solomon taxed it. Let's put it that way. He makes some of the governments of today look very, very weak in their taxing situation. This is what Solomon's son said when the elders of Jerusalem came and said, "Oh, please, no more taxes, we need tax relief. Whereas my father did lay you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke." This is Gordon Brown, eat your heart out, baby. Solomon was a most unpopular man. And I suggest to you then that he didn't want to put his name to Ecclesiastes at that stage, because anybody who'd seen Ecclesiastes on the front of the cover would have said, "Solomon." Don't think so, don't want to read that, had enough of that one. What about was? Well, I have to go a little bit Hebrew now. That was actually means have been. And if you're interested, I can give you a couple of references. So it's not so much that he said, "I was king," but "I have been king." Of course, you can instantly see that, well, you can say that at the end of your life. "I have been king in Jerusalem." What about all that be before me? Well, I said King David was the only one before him. Not strictly true. Anybody think of any other kings of Jerusalem? Again, the back row may wish to... Anybody think of another king in Jerusalem? Abram met a king of Jerusalem. Melchizedek was king in Jerusalem. Adonizedek was king in Jerusalem. Joshua 10. Araunah the Jebusite, 2 Samuel. So there were all sorts of kings in Fort Jerusalem before King Solomon. The Hebrew text one I will leave to the end. So perhaps then you can see the issues, and you can see why I might gravitate in this direction. Let's have a quick hint, just to keep the oxygen flowing, before we discuss why I care if Solomon wrote it. Let's sing hymn 82. I have to say that the singing on the first hymn was a bit grim, so see if you're any more awake now. Hymn 82, "Fill thou my life, O Lord my God, in every part with praise." Hymn 82.